one very big public policy success story that gets, frankly, very little attention is that we've made a lot of progress getting teen pregnancy numbers down. The latest report from the Guttmacher Institute tracks this data annually. They have found that the teen pregnancy rate in the United States has declined by 73% since 1990. That is a big, big decline. One way we are making progress is getting these teen pregnancy numbers down.
Thanks for joining us today for Straight Talk on Life Issues. I'm your host, Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute, and we're going to be talking about something that is perhaps a present conversation in many American households.
You know, Brad, I think you're probably right. This is an issue that's faced many American families, and of course, it's great to be joining you for this conversation as your co-host, Victor Nieves.
Experiencing teenage pregnancy can be overwhelming. It's important to equip your teens with tools to have a persuasive conversation about abortion and pro-life topics.
That's right. And as many people know, by firsthand experience, pregnant teens often face a lot of stigma, a lot of judgment. But what they really need isn't the stigma and it's not the judgment. It's the loving and gentle guidance of the people in their life.
And our guests today, I think, are going to be a good example of that, where they received that good support. And when a baby is born with the support from a family and friends, they aren't only changing the future, but also protecting generations to come.
That's right. And that could not be more important, to protect those future generations by nurturing and loving the generations that are here with us right now is so important. We'll be getting a little bit deeper into that subject with our guest today. Joining us first is Cole and Zeta Carpenter. These two met in the fifth grade, and Zeta ended up pregnant at 14 with Cole's baby. They were both 15 when their daughter Dahlia was born. They graduated high school, maintained jobs, and took on extracurricular activities throughout high school. They're both now 19 with two kids, and they're very happy. We're also joined by Professor Michael New. He's an assistant professor of practice at the Bush School of Business at the Catholic University of America, a senior associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and a Paige Comstock Cunningham Senior Fellow at Americans United for Life. Dr. New researches and writes about the social science of sanctity of life issues.
Cole, Zeta, Professor New, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I much appreciate it.
First of all, let's talk a little bit with Cole and Zeta. Can you briefly tell us your story?
So we were 14 when we got pregnant with our first daughter, Dahlia, and we were 15 when we had her. We went to a high school that had a daycare in it, so we were able to bring our daughter to school with us as we both graduated high school, and we both maintained part-time jobs and took on extracurricular throughout high school. We did 4-H, and I rodeoed, and now we're 19. We just had our second baby in January. Her name is Rose, and Cole works at a mill, and I still work at the restaurant a few days a week, and I stay home and take care of the kids most of the time.
Sounds like you have a happy life.
Yes.
And having children didn't derail you having a happy life, did it?
Correct. No, it did not. We were very worried at first that it would, but now that we're here, I mean, we just get to spend more time together.
Why did you both decide to keep the baby?
Honestly, we went to the Reliance Center. I went to her place, and at first we were considering an abortion, but we really didn't know what it was. We were so young. And Heather inspired me and told me that, you know, we could do it. And we did.
Cole?
She gave us hope when we didn't really have any idea what the next step was. And we were more scared than we'd probably ever have been in our lives. And she gave Zeta more guidance than anybody and just gave her the willpower that she has, the capability to do this as a mother and as a person. We weren't really, our eyes weren't very open to that. We thought abortion was the only option because at 14, nobody really has kids here at 14. And we didn't think that was an option of being able to keep the baby. And we presumed that abortion was the only option, but Heather, she helped us and spoke with us and gave us a shoulder to lean on when we need him.
Did you guys get any pressure to abort your child?
No, I think it was just what was going through our head. Our parents were supportive about everything. I mean, they were disappointed, of course, as, you know, they're our parents, but they were very supportive and they were there every step of the way. And my dad actually told me that I was not going to have an abortion after I decided that I didn't want one. My dad's a very conservative man, and he was like, "You're not having an abortion."
Well, it's good to know he was so in there with his support.
Yes, I was very surprised, honestly. I think we both assumed, but I for sure assumed that our parents would be mad and angry and reluctant about it. Yeah. And when we did tell them, it went way differently than I thought it would. It went way better than expected.
Yeah, it usually does. Parents, of course, are disappointed and need an opportunity to, you know, vent those emotions. And once they do, that's when you can get down to the nitty gritty and talk about what you're going to do.
Yes.
Cole and Zeta, can you tell us about some of the challenges that I can imagine you may have faced being pregnant and in school?
Well, I went to, like I said, the school that we went to had a daycare in there. So I actually wasn't the only young girl that was pregnant. There was another girl that was, when I showed up, she was like extremely pregnant, like late third trimester. And so it made me feel a lot better, you know, I wasn't the only one. And I, at that school, I was not bullied. Nobody said anything. Nobody made fun of me. So I actually didn't struggle school-wise, but I have rodeoed my whole life. And I thought I would never be able to rodeo again because I was going to be so tied down with the baby. But it did not turn out that way. I was able to finish high school rodeo, and Delia came to most of the rodeos with me, and Cole helped me so much through it. And it was pretty amazing. I honestly don't think we struggled that much because we had so much help and support from other people, like our parents, our school. Heather and the Reliance Center has done a lot for us to prevent us from struggling.
Did you barrel race?
Yeah, I barrel raced, I goat tied, I breakaway roped, and pole bended.
All arounder.
All around cowgirl.
Cole, you have a wife of many talents. I'm impressed. What kind of support did you get from your family and friends and the school?
Especially with our family, they helped watch Delia while we worked, which was very important. So then we could, you know, save money for our future, which was amazing. From the Reliance Center, I went through Embrace Grace when I was pregnant. If you don't know what Embrace Grace is, it's where, you know, just moms who, mostly young moms, some low income, some that didn't know what they were going to do. It's just kind of like a support group for moms. And going through that and getting to talk to the other ladies like once a week for, I think, 3 months, it was really, really nice. And I got to make connections and make friends. And at school, being able to take our daughter there was amazing.
Cole, how did that support help you? And what are some of the ways that it was important to have that backing?
Well, people from school, I didn't really speak on the subject as much. And my parents didn't take it quite as easily as Zeta's parents, I guess. My dad, he's more conservative. And my mother, she's very conservative. And they weren't very, I don't know what the word is,
Open to it at first.
And my dad actually was a lot less open to it than my mother was. And I didn't really have anybody to talk to about it. And I was very, very nervous going into the first trimester of pregnancy, I guess. And I don't know, I suppose every father would be nervous no matter what, but it felt like the whole world kind of was depending on our next moves. And we didn't really know the moves to make. And like I said, Heather Lawless, she kind of gave me a shoulder to lean onto and somebody to talk to and actually had knowledge about the situation instead of their biased opinions. And the support that Zeta had gotten from the Reliance Center kind of helped me mentally get through things and get over the nervousness.
Thank you. to you, the listener, you know, Cole's story reminds me so much of the challenges that so many other people have faced, especially some of our prior guests that we've had here on Straight Talk on Life Issues, where we've had the opportunity to speak with people like Cole, who have leaned into the resources and their friends, family, community, the things that were made available to them. But we've also heard the tragic stories of maybe those who didn't choose life, but would instead later come to realize the truth of abortion and the devastating toll that it takes. What all of their stories, though, make very clear is that taking an innocent life is never the answer. And of course, you can hear those stories and you can find more resources by listening to prior episodes of Straight Talk on Life Issue. Those are always available to you at, again, Straight Talk on Life Issues at lifeissues.org.
Professor New, let's turn to you. You've been so patient. For you, the listener, I want you to understand that Professor New is the go-to expert for research, polling, and information within the pro-life movement, and we're very happy to have him. So, Professor New, based on the statistics, are you seeing less pregnancy in teens?
Yeah, absolutely. One very big public policy success story that gets, frankly, very little attention is that we've made a lot of progress getting teen pregnancy numbers down. The latest report from the Guttmacher Institute tracks this data annually. They have found that the teen pregnancy rate in the United States has declined by 73% since 1990. That is a big, big decline. It gets very little attention. So one way we are making progress is getting these teen pregnancy numbers down.
Well, in addition to that, what about the abortion rate and what about birth rate? Those are all tied together, are they not?
You see very similar declines in both the pregnancy rate, you know, the birth rate and the abortion rate. One reason that gets little attention, but data does bear this out, is that a small percentage of teenagers these days, you know, are sexually active. You know, that we have data from both the Youth Risk Behavior Survey. We have data from the National Survey of Family Growth. Both these surveys indicate that in the late 80s, early 90s, the percentage of sexually active high school students, teenagers peaked, and there's been a slow but consistent decline since then. So I'd say we've seen a 10 to 12% drop in the fraction of those teenagers that are sexually active.
And what about the abortion rate? What has that done?
I mean, you see a big decline. I mean, we've seen, you know, a very substantial decline amongst pretty much all age demographics. But I think that, you know, we've seen the largest decline amongst, you know, minors and teenagers. You know, I think the minor abortion rate is down by like 80% since 1990. It's fallen by quite a lot.
Wow. Yeah, that's big numbers indeed. And when you mentioned the Guttmacher Institute, I want the listener to know that is a very pro-abortion organization. It was initially founded to be the think tank or research arm of Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest chain of abortion facilities.
Professor New, I'd like to ask, what are some of the contributing factors to that decline in teen birth and, you know, the contributing factors to the decline in overall abortion rates?
When it comes to, you know, teen birth, I mean, as I have mentioned, you do see a decline in the percentage of teenagers that are sexually active. That's been durable. You know, there is also evidence that those teens that are sexually active are more likely to use contraception now than maybe they were, you know, 30 to 40 years ago. You know, there's some studies that do point in that direction. You know, I think that there is a variety of reasons why teenagers are less sexually active. Some good, some concerning. I do think we've seen a bigger investment in abstinence programs. You know, I think that is bearing some fruit. I do hate to say it, but I think for some teenagers, pornography is kind of replacing sexual activity. You know, obviously, that pornography is evil, and the fact that pornography is, you know, widely available on the internet through iPhones is a real cause for concern. But, you know, I'd be kind of remiss if I didn't bring that up. So, and I also just think that, you know, teenagers these days are just, you know, not necessarily pursuing romantic relationships the way they did 30 or 40 years ago. Many teenagers kind of realize, or at least think, that marriage is kind of very far off in the future and just are not investing in romantic relationships the way teenagers might have done 30 to 40 years ago. They have a lot of platonic friends of the opposite sex, but probably fewer romantic partners. That's playing a role as well.
Professor, you and I both know that Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry are targeting Blacks and Hispanics for abortion. In your research, did you find any differences in birth rates among Blacks and Hispanics?
We've seen, you know, very solid declines amongst, you know, all racial and demographic groups. You know, I think amongst whites, Hispanics, African-Americans, you know, we've seen sizable declines in, you know, teen pregnancies, teen births, teen abortions. It's not just focused or centered on one demographic. It's pretty widespread.
That's good to know, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Are there any other points or things of interest that you were made aware of during your research that our listeners should be aware of?
Well, I also do think, you know, that pro-life parental involvement laws are playing a role in this decline as well. You know, I think that obviously, you know, after Dobbs, we can do a lot more to protect preborn children. But, you know, when Roe v. Wade was the law of the land and when Casey was the law of the land, there were limits as to what we could do legislatively. Parental involvement laws, you know, were one thing that pro-lifers could do. It wasn't always easy. You know, the Supreme Court did strike down parental involvement laws of the 1970s, and I always use that to remind pro-lifers how far we've come. But we're over 30 states have a law in place that require minor girls to either notify their parents for obtaining an abortion or get permission. And there's a very just good body of data showing that, you know, when these laws are passed, minor abortions go down. And also other things happen as well, that STD rates go down among minors, suicide rates go down among minors. So we actually have good evidence these laws have very good public health impacts.
Wow, that's good news. Now, here's a question I'd like to ask all of our guests. Cole, let's start with you. What would you say to a teenager who's thinking about having an abortion, particularly a young man in your shoes?
I have had one other friend that has been in the same situation as I have been in, and I can give you the advice I gave him, and that's just realize that while you may have done something that's very unique in creating life, and life is very hard to create on Earth, but it's not the end of the world, and to just give it time. And time can heal many things, and just giving it time will give you the opportunity to think and grow instead of just abandoning the situation and giving up, essentially. And that was something that my mindset was at the beginning, was aborting and giving up. And it wasn't until later on that I had grown to the idea of not giving up and not abandoning and sticking with it. And now there's not a day that goes by that I look back and realize that I was very close to making the wrong decision and leaving. And I'm very, very glad I didn't.
Zayda?
That baby will mean the world to you and will change your life in the best way possible. Like he said, I couldn't imagine my life without her. She has changed us as human beings. She makes us better every single day of our lives. She makes us smile more than we could imagine. And that first night in the hospital with her and with the second baby, it's so surreal. It feels like you're in a dream. I mean, having a baby is just, it's such a big blessing. It really is. Even though they may get on your last nerves when they grow up, they really do mean the world to you.
I'll give you a bit of news. Even when they're adults, they still get on your nerves sometimes. Professor New, what would be your advice to teens who asked you for direction? They're pregnant and they're thinking about having an abortion.
Tell them, please don't make a decision that you might regret literally for the rest of your life. You know, I run a pro-life sidewalk counseling ministry outside the D.C. Planned Parenthood. There's a guy who comes every so often and holds up a sign which says something to the effect of 32 years of abortion regret, you know, 1992 to 2024. And he was involved in the decision to have an abortion and regrets it to this day. And I also would just tell a teenager that, you know, whatever your life circumstances are, if you don't feel if you don't feel capable of raising a child, adoption is a very good option. You know, there's many loving families out there. And, you know, an adoption can be set up, you know, the way you want. It can be an open adoption where you have contact with your child. It can also be a closed adoption where, you know, your identity will be kept a secret from your child. So, You know, again, there's a lot of options available to you, but I would just say that, you know, the life you've created is precious. You know, it's valuable. It's made in God's image. You know, it deserves to live. And again, I would say just out of your own self-interest, don't make a decision that you might well regret for the rest of your life.
Okay. Well said, everyone. I want to thank you all for coming to be part of this program. I think it's going to have a definite impact with youth that will hear it. And we thank you for taking time.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Yes, thank you.
You know, Victor, they look so young, this young couple at 19, and I can only imagine what they must have looked like at 14 when they first got pregnant. I think of the parents and what they went through, and certainly if I were them, there would have been some emotion on my part as far as that unexpected pregnancy. But it's just an example of we need to give parents room to process something like that emotionally and then wait for the true test, wait for them to step in and support both mother and child, you know, and that's what their parents did. And I give them a lot of credit for that.
That's right, Brad. Their story is just such a testament to that truth that you laid out, that their parents stepped in and they showed them that love and that guidance, which is exactly what they needed in that moment. And as they even mentioned to us, who knows how much more difficult that would have been if they didn't have that safety net of the people who loved them to help them in this situation and take care of them.
And if Planned Parenthood had gotten their claws into them, they would have said, absolutely, you can't have this baby. Your lives would be ruined. But we see that their lives are just fine. They have not one child, but two children. He's got a great job. She works part-time and concentrates on raising the children. They have a nice place to live. They're doing well. And that's why we can tell women who are facing an unexpected pregnancy that it's not going to derail your life. God will give you the resources, the talents, and the energy that you need to raise those children.
And I want to mention quickly, Brad, that Cole, his side of this story should be an inspiration to other young men who may find themselves in a situation where they're afraid, they're scared, they're not sure what to do. But like Cole, those young men can do what needs to be done. They can step up to the plate and provide for their family, provide for their, you know, the mother of their child, their children, and they can make a way. There will always be a way, especially whenever young men like Cole decide that they're going to do the right thing, stick it out, and be a good father to their children.
Yeah, he impressed me, Victor. He's a good guy. He's a good father. Many dads would hang back and not even want to talk on air about the situation. But not only did he do that, he provided some great content and good advice to others who may be experiencing an unexpected pregnancy. And I would encourage anybody who's listening to this and is facing the same situation and would like to benefit from Cole's advice and experience, let us know. I think we can put you two together. Not only did we benefit from a young couple, just new to life almost, but they were countered, Victor, by Professor Michael New. And I've known him for a long time. He, as I said at the top of the program, is our go-to guy when we need an expert advice on stats and research. He can unpack those touted by the abortion side and expose the weaknesses of that research, which are usually pretty numerous. And what we're going to do for you, the listeners, we're putting together some of his works where he analyzes various topics of research regarding the life issues. And you'll be able to find that at lifeissues.org at our resource page of this program.
And to hear him cover those statistics of how teen pregnancy is going down and overall abortion has gone down considerably since the 1980s is a great testimony to those who have worked so tirelessly in the pro-life community to make that a reality. And I want to encourage you, our listener, to make use of the resources that we've compiled for you today at lifeissues.org. This is a program where it's especially important to share those resources with your friends, your family, and your church community so that if you find yourself in a situation like this, you can be that loving embrace and the support system for those people who need you so desperately. Again, you can find those resources at lifeissues.org, and be sure to tune in next week for more Straight Talk on Life Issues.